Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. The 15-year-old girl gang raped outside a homecoming dance at Richmond High School last month says she hopes anger over the incident can lead to constructive change. She wrote a statement, and last night at a rally and candlelight vigil at the school, rape crisis counselor Deanna Schlau read it out to the crowd.
Violence is always the wrong choice. We realize people are angry about this. But let the anger cause change that is necessary to keep our children, our neighbors, and our friends safe. We thank everyone for their love, support, and ongoing prayers.
Police announced yesterday they arrested a seventh person in connection with the crime. Five suspects have been charged. And West Contra Costa Unified School District officials announced they found the money to purchase surveillance cameras as well as new lighting and fencing. The election of John Garamendi to Congress yesterday gives Arnold Schwarzenegger a rare opportunity to appoint someone to fill a vacant statewide office. A typical governor would pick a new lieutenant governor from his own political party. But as Scott Schaefer explains, this governor isn't typical.
There's an old joke about the lieutenant governor's job description. You wake up, read the paper to see if the governor's dead, and if he's not, take the rest of the day off. It's true, the actual job isn't much, and yet, according to political analyst Bill Whalen of the Hoover Institution, the title lieutenant governor has kind of a nice ring to it.
It sounds like you're Hutch to Starsky, you're Robin to Batman, you're Spock to Kirk, you are the governor's sidekick, you're the go-to guy, you're the wingman, and that resonates with voters.
Whalen says getting appointed to that job would be a nice resume builder for a political ally. By that way of thinking, Whalen says Schwarzenegger could choose his former finance director, Tom Campbell, one of the leading Republican candidates for governor.
Tom Campbell was Governor Schwarzenegger's finance director. He was a state senator in a past life and a U.S. congressman. The man knows government inside and out and upside down.
Another possibility, one of the two Republicans already running for lieutenant governor in next June's primary. State Senators Jeff Denham and Sam Onestad are both termed out of office in 2010.
The danger, though, is that 2010 may be a terrible year to be an incumbent and be tied to the mess that Sacramento is right now.
UC San Diego political science professor Thad Kauser. He doubts the value of being tied to a governor whose approval rating is stuck below 30%.
So it's not even clear that anyone wants to be his handpicked lieutenant right now. That, because he's so unpopular, especially with Republican primary voters, that could be more of a curse than a blessing right now.
Kauser adds that Schwarzenegger is a brand unto himself. He often ignores party labels in making his appointments.
Governor Schwarzenegger has never made building the Republican Party organization his strength. He's a self-professed postpartisan governor.
In fact, Schwarzenegger has alienated the Republican base time and again by raising taxes as part of a balanced budget deal, expressing support for gay marriage. The list goes on and on. So appointing an independent or even a Democrat as lieutenant governor wouldn't shock anyone. But GOP state party chair Ron Nearing says it would only deepen the divide between the governor and the party faithful.
When you have someone who doesn't identify with our party or the principles that bring so many of us to the table, like fiscal responsibility and limited taxation and keeping government small and responsive, then that's going to stand to disappoint folks.
Whoever the governor chooses to replace Democrat John Garamendi will need to be confirmed by the Senate and Assembly, both controlled by Democrats. Put all of this together, a break-the-mold governor on the outs with his party, and Democrats getting the final say on the nomination, could lead Schwarzenegger to pick a Democrat, someone like former Assembly Speaker Bob Hertzberg.
I don't always agree with him, but he's my bud. I like him. We have fun. We smoke cigars together. We do enjoy each other's company. I like him tremendously, and we have a lot of fun together. But I tell you something, I'm never afraid to tell him what I think.
Another point in Hertzberg's favor, he heads up the nonpartisan group California Forward, a think tank promoting the kind of political reform Schwarzenegger supports. Keep in mind, no one's ever gotten rich predicting what Arnold Schwarzenegger would do. UC San Diego political science professor Thad Kauser isn't placing any bets.
With this governor, we've come to expect the unexpected. So I don't know what's Clint Eastwood doing. It could be a wild card.
Or if the governor wants to save a little money and maybe make a point about the office of lieutenant governor, he could always not appoint anyone and leave it vacant. For the California Report, I'm Scott Schaefer.
Next week, Google will be back in court trying to hash out a class action settlement with authors and publishers over the tech giant's plans to build a universal online library. Peter John Schuler reports.
Even many of Google's critics wax rhapsodic at the thought of an online database of all, or at least a lot of, the books ever printed. But over the past year, many have raised objections to a settlement Google reached with authors and publishers groups. The agreement would guarantee the rights of copyright holders while leaving Google free to digitize a vast number of orphan works, books whose rights have expired or whose rights holders are unknown. One of the leading opponents of the settlement is the Open Book Alliance, which includes a wide range of antitrust activists, open source advocates, and some of Google's biggest competitors, Microsoft, Yahoo, and Amazon. Peter Brantley is co-founder of the alliance.
This is an incredible moment in time where we can really envision whatever knowledge that we've been able to preserve in our libraries, to have that instantly available online. But it seems wrong for that to be in the hands of a single commercial entity, and for that entity to be able to really control the kinds of access that people have to that.
Brantley says such issues should be part of a public process and not the result of a court settlement. But Daniel Clancy, engineering director of Google Books, says the proposed settlement won't preclude an ongoing public discussion. He says the main goal of the project is to unlock the knowledge in out-of-print books.
We think many providers in this space is better than one, but one is better than none. And so locking up the stuff isn't the solution to increase access. The way you do it is you start increasing access. And so we actually see the settlement agreement as a step of a broader process.
Google and the publishers and authors groups will submit a revised settlement to U.S. District Court Judge Denny Chin on Monday. The court will take comments, and a final hearing could take place by early next year. For the California Report, I'm Peter John Schuler.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, November 4th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Myra. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by Chevron, an energy company encouraging innovation right here in California. This is the power of human energy. Information available at chevroncalifornia.com. The Mary Van Voorhees Fund and the Fallis Family Fund for coverage of climate change. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URScorp.com.